Lesson 4, The Purpose of Priesthood Ordinances. This lesson should increase our understanding of priesthood ordinances and their importance in our lives. Introduction. We believe that through the atonement of Christ, all mankind may be saved by obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel. Third article of faith. An ordinance is anything God ordains or decrees to be. Most often, however, we use the word to refer to those rites and ceremonies the Lord has given us for our salvation and comfort. Bruce R. McConkie, Mormon Doctrine, page 548. In this sense, ordinances are physical actions that symbolize spiritual experiences. By taking part in them, we receive the spiritual power we need to change our lives. Baptism, for example, represents, among other things, a washing away of sins following true repentance. To prevent confusion and the misuse of these rites, our Heavenly Father requires that priesthood authority perform the ordinances of the gospel. Only when an ordinance is performed by the proper authority will our Heavenly Father approve the performance of the ordinances. There are two types of priesthood ordinances, those necessary for exaltation and those that are performed for our comfort and guidance. Ordinances necessary for exaltation. The Scriptures tell us that it is only through the ordinances of the priesthood that we can return to our Father in heaven and once again see Him face to face. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 20 through 22. Write on the chalkboard or display the poster listing the ordinances necessary for exaltation. See suggestions under Teacher Preparation. President Wilford Woodruff said, "No man can enter into the kingdom of God except he is born of the water and of the Spirit. No man will receive of the celestial glory except it be through the ordinances of the house of God." Journal of Discourses, volume 19, page 361. Read John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. What ordinances are mentioned in this scripture? Baptism and the laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Baptism. Show visual 4-A. Baptism is the first ordinance of the gospel. The ordinance of baptism is the first ordinance we must receive if we are to live with our Heavenly Father. To return to Him, we must be clean and worthy. Baptism makes it possible for us to be forgiven of those sins for which we have repented. It allows us to become pure enough to live in the Lord's presence. See Duties and Blessings of the Priesthood, Part A, Chapter 29, Baptism, A Continuing Covenant. Why is being baptized like beginning a new life? How does baptism help us return to our Father in heaven? When we are baptized, we are placed under the water. The Scriptures compare this to burying our old self. When we come out of the water, it is as if we had been washed clean of sin and had begun a new life. With our past sins washed away, we receive greater spiritual power to change our lives and become more like our Heavenly Father. Invite class members to tell how baptism affected their lives. The sacrament. The ordinance of the sacrament reminds us of the promises we made when we were baptized. As we partake of the bread and water, we remember again our Savior's life and His sacrifice. We remember our promise to follow Him. When taken worthily, the sacrament is a source of spiritual strength. It helps us develop greater power to keep the commandments because through sincere repentance and by worthily partaking of the sacrament, we can be cleansed from sins committed after baptism. This is how we renew and update our baptism covenant. The gift of the Holy Ghost. Show visual 4B. Bestowing the gift of the Holy Ghost is a Melchizedek priesthood ordinance. Joseph Smith once said, "The baptism of water without the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost attending it is of no use. They are necessarily and inseparably connected. An individual must be born of water and the Spirit in order to get into the kingdom of God." Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 360. Page 361 contains visual 4-A. Baptism is the first ordinance of the gospel. Page 29 contains visual 4-B. Bestowing the gift of the Holy Ghost is a Melchizedek priesthood ordinance. Page 30 contains visual 4-C. Ordination to the Melchizedek priesthood is necessary for exaltation. Why is the gift of the Holy Ghost necessary for us to become exalted? The gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands is promised to those who have repented of their sins and been baptized and confirmed members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This ordinance, which is performed by men who hold the Melchizedek priesthood, gives us the right to have the Holy Ghost as our guide through this earthly existence and helps us obey the laws, principles, and ordinances of the gospel. The Holy Ghost can bear witness of the Father and the Son. 3 Nephi chapter 28, verse 11. Show things to come.
John chapter 16, verse 13.
Bring things to our remembrance.
John chapter 14, verse 26.
And teach us the truth of all things.
Moroni chapter 10, verse 5.
See Duties and Blessings of the Priesthood, part A, chapter 30, The Gift of the Holy Ghost. How has the Holy Ghost influenced your life? Have class members share personal experiences. Ordination to the Melchizedek Priesthood. Show visual 4-C. Ordination to the Melchizedek Priesthood is necessary for exaltation. Worthy male members of the Church must be ordained to the Melchizedek Priesthood in order to obtain exaltation. This ordination allows a man to receive the power and authority of God, by which he can perform the ordinances for his loved ones, both living and dead. The priesthood becomes for him a source of knowledge and helps him understand spiritual things. It helps him serve his fellow men and do God's work here on the earth. Some of the ways a woman can receive the blessings of the Melchizedek priesthood are by receiving the ordinances of the gospel under the hands of the priesthood and by being married to a righteous priesthood holder. The blessings that come into a home when a man magnifies his priesthood affect his wife as much as they affect him. Perhaps the most important way she participates in the blessings of the priesthood is by receiving her endowment and being married in the temple. The endowment. Show visual 4-D. Salvation comes through temple ordinances. The endowment is a sacred ordinance performed only in the temple. President Brigham Young said, "Your endowment is to receive all those ordinances in the house of the Lord which are necessary for you after you have departed this life to enable you to walk back to the presence of the Father, passing the angels who stand as sentinels, being enabled to give them the key words, the signs, and tokens pertaining to the holy priesthood, and gain your eternal exaltation in spite of earth and hell." Journal of Discourses, Volume 2, page 31. Page 32 contains visual 4-D. Salvation comes through temple ordinances. The temple endowment teaches us many things that we must know and do in order to return to our Father in heaven. We also make certain promises to the Lord. For example, we promise to strictly obey the law of chastity. We promise to be obedient and to be willing to give everything we have to help in the Lord's work. Because these promises are so sacred, the endowment is given only to those who have shown that they are willing to keep our Heavenly Father's commandments. To remind them of these promises, they are given a sacred garment to place on their bodies. How does keeping these promises help us return to our Heavenly Father? Temple marriage. The ordinance of temple marriage is also necessary if we are to become like our Father in heaven. Family exaltation requires that we and our families be sealed together for all eternity. For this reason, we must teach our children a reverence for the temple and prepare them for temple marriage. Read the following story told to President Harold B. Lee by one of the watchmen of the Salt Lake Temple. One morning not so long ago, I was sitting at the desk in the temple gatehouse, reading, when my attention was drawn to a knock on the door. There stood two little boys, ages about 7 or 8 years. As I opened the door, I noticed that they were poorly dressed and had been neither washed nor combed. They appeared as if they had left home before father or mother had awakened that morning. As I looked beyond these little fellows, I saw two infants in push carts. In answer to my question as to what they wanted, one of the boys pointed to his little brother in the cart and replied, "His name is Joe. Will you shake hands with little Joe? It is little Joe's birthday. He is 2 years old today, and I want him to touch the temple, so when he gets to be an old man, he will remember he touched the temple when he was 2 years old." Pointing to the other little boy in the other cart, he said, "This is Mark. He's 2 years old, too." Then, with a solemn, reverent attitude rare in children so young, he asked, "Now can we go over there and touch the temple?" I replied, "Sure you can." They pushed their little carts over to the temple and lifted the infants up and placed their hands against that holy building. Then, as I stood there with a lump in my throat, I heard the little boy say to his infant brother, "Now, Joe, you will always remember when you was 2 years old you touched the temple." They thanked me and departed for home. Marriage for Eternity, Improvement Era, June 1957, page 406. Have a class member read Doctrine and Covenants, section 131, verses 1 through 4.
Doctrine and Covenants, section 131, verses 1 through 4.
According to this scripture, why is it essential to be married in the temple? Eternal marriage, which is performed only in temples, makes it possible for families to live together throughout all eternity. One of the greatest blessings of marriage in the temple is that it makes it possible for us to have an eternal family like our Heavenly Father's. How could knowing that your marriage is eternal make a difference in your marriage and your other family relationships? Why should we consider temple marriage an important ordinance? Ordinances for comfort and guidance. Write on the chalkboard or display the poster listing the ordinances for comfort and guidance. See suggestions under teacher preparation. Naming and blessing of children. Show visual 4-E. Infants are usually named and blessed in testimony meeting. Children are usually blessed in a fast and testimony meeting. The young child is officially named, and a blessing is given by someone holding the Melchizedek priesthood, preferably the father.
Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 70.
If anyone has blessed his children, ask him to share his feelings about this opportunity. Then tell this story, which shows how our Father in heaven helps us perform ordinances. A new father told a story of inspiration, an inspiration that the ward members had actually witnessed taking place. "I am very touched this afternoon. When I stood to bless Mark, I wasn't sure what I was going to say, though I did have a few things in mind. But when I actually held him in my hands and began the prayer, impressions began crowding in on my mind. I wasn't left on my own to give my son a blessing. The Lord inspired me through the power of the Holy Ghost to know what to say." J. A. Perry, Miracles Today, Ensign, January 1978, page 53. Page 35 contains visual 4-E. Infants are usually named and blessed in testimony meeting. Administering to the sick. Show visual 4-F. Faithful elders have the power to give the sick a blessing of health. Administering to the sick is another ordinance that men holding the Melchizedek priesthood can perform. Just as Jesus blessed the sick, faithful elders of the church have the power to bless and heal the sick. Elders need to remember, however, that when blessing the sick, the will of the Lord is to be done.
Doctrine and Covenants, section 42, verses 43 through 48.
Ask class members to share their experiences in administering to the sick. Consecration of oil. The consecration of oil is done by men holding the Melchizedek priesthood in preparation for administering to the sick. Only pure olive oil is consecrated and dedicated for use in administering to the sick. Patriarchal blessings. Patriarchal blessings are inspired blessings given to worthy church members by ordained patriarchs. These blessings are meant to provide an individual with direction and counsel. They also reveal his lineage in the royal house of Israel. Patriarchal blessings given by ordained patriarchs are recorded and preserved by the church. They are personal and sacred, and as such should not be made public. Father's blessings. Father's blessings may be given at special times in the lives of family members. Such occasions as a mission, marriage, or going away to school often prompt a father to give his child a special blessing. Father's blessings can also be given to help individuals face trials or resolve important questions or problems. Blessings of guidance and comfort. When a father's blessing is unavailable, blessings of guidance and comfort may be given by bishops, branch presidents, home teachers, or other Melchizedek priesthood bearers. Page 37 contains visual 4-F. Faithful elders have the power to give the sick a blessing of health. These blessings are similar to Father's blessings. They help individuals prepare for special times in their lives or overcome problems that require special help from our Heavenly Father. Invite the class to share their experiences concerning these blessings. Dedication of Graves. The dedication of graves is performed by the Melchizedek priesthood. The dedicatory prayer usually contains words of comfort for the family of the deceased, asks for special protection for the grave, and includes other blessings as the Spirit may indicate. Conclusion. We have been given priesthood ordinances to help us return to our Father in heaven. To be accepted by God, however, these ordinances must be performed by the proper priesthood authority. President Lorenzo Snow said, "There is but one way by which exaltation and glory can be secured. We have to be baptized for the remission of sins and have hands laid upon us for the reception of the Holy Ghost. These and other ordinances are absolutely necessary for exaltation and glory." Millennial Star, June 27, 1895, page 405. Other ordinances give us guidance and comfort. When done correctly, priesthood ordinances are accompanied by great spiritual power that helps us change our lives for the better. It must be remembered that the promised blessings associated with any ordinance are realized only through righteous living. Challenge. 1. Make specific plans to receive all the ordinances necessary for exaltation. 2. Live worthy to administer priesthood ordinances for others. 3. Plan to make a special sacred occasion of each ordinance performed by members of your family. Additional Scriptures.
James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Elders have the power to bless the sick. Mosiah chapter 13, verse 30. Importance of observing ordinances. 3 Nephi chapter 11, verses 32 through 40. Necessity for baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Mormon chapter 9, verse 24. Laying on of hands to bless the sick. Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 41. Receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Doctrine and Covenants, section 105, verse 33. Endowment to be given.
Teacher preparation. Before presenting this lesson, 1. Prepare to list on the chalkboard or make a poster listing the ordinances necessary for exaltation, baptism, the sacrament, laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost, ordination to the Melchizedek priesthood, the endowment, and temple marriage. 2. Prepare to list on the chalkboard or make a poster listing the ordinances for comfort and guidance, blessing of children, administering to the sick, consecration of oil, patriarchal blessings, father's blessings, blessings of guidance and comfort, and dedication of graves. 3. Ask class members to read or present stories and scriptures in this lesson. Note, do not go into detail about how to perform the ordinances. This information will be given in Lesson 5. End of Lesson 4, The Purpose of Priesthood Ordinances.